Bill Graff, Farm in Central Illinois.
And you are going to be presenting some very important information at the upcoming Ag Connect. And it's going to be where producers can get some one-on-one time with you and talk about some of your business practices, growth and diversification strategies, sustainability. And you also have a five-year plan for growth on your farm. But without giving all of this great stuff away, can you give us an example of what some of the topics and things you are going to be stressing at this event?
The biggest thing I want to be stressing to the farmers is that you need to come up with a plan to be able to survive on your own two feet. And what I mean that is I see in the future that the government support for farm operations is going to only head one way, and that's down. Everything from dairy farmers who, I mean, they love their cows. They want to be in the dairy production. They're much like show cattle people or horse people or whatever. They would have their dairy cows no matter what, but that's a poor business model just to have the dairy cows no matter what. That you're going to have to, in the future, come up with a way to be profitable in the dairy business without a whole lot of government support. Same thing for a number of your producers in the southern states, your rice, your cotton, peanut growers who have depended on these large direct payments, not always going to be there. I also think that a lot of our farmers in the Midwest, cash corn, cash soybean farmers particularly, have had a great backstop in government insurance. And the crop insurance, the producers do pay into that, but there's a huge premium subsidy there by the government, and I think there's going to be a day when they're going to put a payment limit on that crop insurance subsidy, so you may only have $40,000 or $50,000 of crop insurance subsidy, and once you hit that, you're on your own. And if that happens, that changes the game entirely on a lot of these farming operations, particularly in the Midwest.
Well, producers hearing this might say, well, easier said than done. And how do we get to the point that he's talking about?
Well, yeah, it's easier said than done. I mean, there's a number of things where producers are going to say, hey, I got other people that are outbidding me on cash rent that I got to use the crop insurance, and I got to do this to stay in business and go down the road. And yes, that's true. But on the other hand, if you look at, especially with these land values, everybody talks about these large land values going up. And we all know that agriculture is cyclical, that eventually sometime this thing will head back down. But this time, I think, is going to be different than the 80s. I don't think there's any cavalry riding over the hills, mainly for several reasons. And the big reason is the government support in the 80s didn't start happening until the rural banks got in trouble. When the rural banks looked like they were going to have trouble and a lot of rural businesses, that's when you started getting a lot of help there in the late 80s. Well, this time, Farm Credit, I'll use them for an example. They're only loaning 40 to 60% of the money on a lot of these land purchases. And when you start looking at that, in most cases, you could lose half of your land value before the banker gets in trouble. So this next time down, I think most of the brunt of the burden will be borne by the farm producers themselves, and that changes the entire complexion of this game. And let's face it, a lot of farmers are, for lack of a better word, a bunch of rich white guys that probably aren't the most popular people in the world for an entitlement program. And the powers that be in charge of this, one, they're going to take care of their people with the entitlement programs, or they're going to take care of their people with tax reduction and revenue reduction going in. And probably that makes farmers kind of the odd person out. And I just think in agriculture, you got to be thinking how you're going to insure yourself, how you're going to have a backstop, where you're going to be if in 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, this thing turns over and goes down.
Bill, you certainly have a lot of experience, and you, I would say diversification. Tell people about kind of your background and where you come from.
I'm just a farm boy out of Central Illinois. That's really all I am. I have been fortunate in my career to cross paths with a number of people, and I've been asked and been fortunate to do some things besides just commercial production agriculture. And I think with those experiences, one of them being I ran the Farm Service Agency for USDA for the state of Illinois. I've mixed with a lot of different politicians. I've mixed with a lot of staffers, and I've had a lot of off-the-record conversations with people on how they really think. And, you know, in agriculture, we happen to be, yes, very asset-rich. We're not always cash-rich. Right now, we happen to be cash-rich. But you take the average person out there, you know, most producers right now, most farmers, they're going to have problems with this inheritance tax if it goes down to $1 million exemption. But the average person working in town is not going to have a problem with that. It's amazing just how wealthy our agricultural community has become. And I think with that, you know, in my experiences, I've also worked at kind of all levels of, been involved at all levels of government, everything from the township clear up to the federal side. You know, I just look at the world a little different than a lot of our producers, because a lot of producers are going to say, well, I can't get it done that way. They're going to have to help me. And I'm saying, guys, they may not help you this next time. And, you know, that we're watching a number of large producers, not that many, but a few. We've seen several big ones in central Illinois. Now this Stamp Farms, that was one of the finalists and the top producer of the year, they filed for Chapter 11. I don't see a big push by a lot of people to bail out a lot of agriculture producers if they get in trouble.
Bill, you're going to be presenting at the Ag Connect Expo in Kansas City on January 29th. I'm sure you're looking forward to meeting with producers. I'm sure they'll have a lot of questions, but I'm sure it'll be an opportunity where you all can share ideas.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to paint a gloom picture right now. I mean, this thing's going about as good as it's going, and maybe when it's going as good as it's going is when you kind of use some of that money to position yourself in a position where you're not as dependent on outside help next time this thing rolls over and goes down. I think this is a very good time to quote, you know, a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey, you know, to live now like no other, so later you can live like, you know, but nobody else. And maybe it's time in agriculture right now that you prepare yourself for what could be a little bit tougher future than what we have right now. You know, right now, you know, there's a lot of producers that are going to have problems with income tax in the next couple of years. If they don't do anything to back off from these higher tax rates and don't get some of this fast depreciation and stuff going, there's a lot of producers with a lot of income tax problems. And that's just not going to sell real good to the general public that we need all this help out there. I mean, there's a lot of producers, especially in the Corn Belt, that are going to have... you know, they're making money right now, and they've done fast depreciation on everything, and they've kind of run this as far as they can, and you know, they've pushed all their grain sales forward, and they've brought all their expenses back, and you know, they're sitting on a lot of cash. Crop insurance has been a very good investment for a lot of farmers. I know some producers that have had some of the poorest crops they've ever had, but yet they're going to have record grain receipts when they count their crop insurance proceeds in. You know, these high prices are making it available for us to do some things, but, you know, if you get your cost structure to a point where you can't do it, you're going to be in trouble. You have to remember, the future is not what it is right now. So to position yourself for the future, you got to be smart enough to try to think what's ahead of that curve in the road out there.